Let us pray. Eternal Father, this morning we are grateful for the mercy, the grace that in Christ Jesus thou hast lavished upon us. Holy Father, we now consecrate this time into thy hands. As thy word is declared, Holy Father, may thou bless both the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. It is a true saying that hindsight is 20/20. Things always become much clearer after they had happened. And at times when I reflect over my life, I wish it was my foresight that was 20/20, not my hindsight. I wish, as the saying goes, that I knew then what I know now. Because on a few occasions, I've let some very great opportunities slip through my fingers. Opportunities that perhaps could have steered my life in a more positive direction. But you know, while as humans, we sometimes let opportunities slip through our fingers. For the devil, this is not the case. You know, the devil is a masterful opportunist who does not allow any opportunity to slip through his fingers. As one of the most craftiest creatures that God created, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the devil is a maestro when it comes to seizing opportunities. He is relentless in his efforts, diligently seeking out opportunities to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the Apostle Peter will give us this insight when he reminded us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And throughout the Bible, the devil's opportunistic maneuvers are well documented. And I must say this, with a very impressive success rate. So as Christians, in order to be victorious in this spiritual warfare that we are engaged in, it is of utmost importance that we not only understand the opportunistic exploits of the devil, but also we got to know how to secure our portals or entry points in our lives that the devil can actually capitalize on as an opportunity to cause us to stumble. And this morning, this is what I intend to explore as I go through the pages of Scripture to seek to understand the opportunities that the devil tend to capitalize on to cause us to stumble. Now, one thing is clear from the pages of Scripture. You know, the devil is not a myth, but a spiritual being who fell from grace because of his pride. You can find that in Isaiah chapter 14, beginning at verse 12, and Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning at verse 11. And subsequently, he became the arch enemy of God with one overarching goal, always seeking to oppose, to derail, to destroy God's plan and his people. And part of his strategy to derail and to destroy God's plan and his people is to always seek opportunity to cause us as believers to stumble. Because he understands something, that if he can cause us to stumble, it can actually hinder the work of kingdom building. And this morning from the pages of Scripture, I want to deduce and harvest the different opportunities that the devil tried to capitalize on in order to cause us to fail. So using biblical figures this morning, let us begin to look at examples from the Scriptures of some of the opportunities the devil actually capitalizes on. The first one is this. You know, the devil often capitalizes on the opportunity of confused understanding. And loved ones, I want you to write this down. He capitalizes on the opportunity of confused understanding. In Genesis chapter 2, after God created Adam and placed him in the Garden of Eden, The Bible records that God now gave Adam a specific prohibition. Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 16. It said, "From any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Now, let's fast forward to chapter 3. Now, in chapter 3, we're now introduced to the serpent. Now, in case you want to know what the serpent is, you've got to go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, because the serpent is the same person as the devil and Satan. And we're told here that the serpent now came to the woman, Eve, and he said to the woman, "Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now, from this verse, I want you to pay close attention, because here we can discern the craftiness of the serpent or the devil. You know, it did not address this question to the person whom the Lord specifically gave the instruction, Adam. Rather, he approached the person who received it secondhand. And I believe the reason he did this was because he knew the problem of transmission of communication. What am I saying this morning? He understood that as information is transmitted, at times the truth gets lost in the translation. And that is why he came to Eve to begin now to ask her a question that was very crafty, because he knew there was a high likelihood that she would struggle with the fact. And this was precisely what happened, because Eve struggled in her response. Watch what she says. He said, "From the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat." Now, pause for a minute here. God did not say anything about the fruit in Genesis chapter 2, 16. It said tree, but here we can see Eve, she's downloaded it to the fruit. And he said, "From the fruit which is in the middle of the garden." God didn't mention the middle of the garden. God mentioned the tree of good, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Eve did not say that. And Eve continues to say, "You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." So she has actually got this confused understanding of the instruction of God. And this became the opportunity. I want you to watch what I'm saying this morning. This became the opportunity that the serpent now used to begin now to play this mind game on her, because she wasn't sure of her facts. And this, my brothers and sisters, is the exact same thing the devil still does today. The devil understands that the opportunity for him to actually cause us to stumble is always very vivid and very open when we as believers have a confused understanding of the truth. When you don't understand what God is saying in his word, or when someone has manipulated that teaching, then it's so easy for the devil to come in and begin to lead us into all kinds of false teaching. And this morning, I'm still going to talk about this, but this is one of the prevailing problems that I find in contemporary Christendom, because of the problem of interpretation. There's been so much that has veered in terms of biblical truth that today, when you open your Bible and see the Christianity proclaimed in the gospel, you will be shocked at what you see today in our contemporary culture, because there is the problem of confused understanding. The second opportunity that the devil capitalizes on in order to derail our faith that is in the Bible now, in terms of past biblical character, is what I call pride. Now, this brings us to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, the Bible records for us the story of Uzziah, king of Judah, the son of Amaziah. And the Bible says that Uzziah ascended the throne at the very young age of 16. And he was well mentored by a young man, or a older man, called Zacharias, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, Uzziah, God prospered him. Now, we go further in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We see that as God prospered him, his fame spread afar. And the Bible said he was marvelously helped by God. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 15. But I want you to see that. Uzziah here has become so successful. God has blessed him so mightily. Then at that moment, Bible tells us that when he became strong, his heart was so prideful that he acted corruptly and was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, I want you to pause right here. While the Bible does not reveal to us the behind-the-scene picture here, but it is safe to see and to say that the devil was actually at work here. Because as soon as Uzziah became strong and pride began to now rise in his soul, the devil now capitalizes on that pride to make him think of himself more highly than the altar. The devil capitalizes on that pride of Uzziah to cause him to cross the boundary that God has said do not cross, because only the priest can offer incense. The king could not. But here Uzziah, lost in his pride, and my brothers and sisters, loved ones, this is what I want you to understand this morning. The devil is just looking and watching you to be prideful, because he knows that pride comes before the fall. He knows that you are prone to be deceived in your pride. And loved ones, this is one of the opportunity that the devil capitalizes on to cause believers to fail. That is why, as a believer, you must listen to the exhortation of the scripture that calls you to humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself. No matter how successful you get, no matter how talented you are, you must learn to humble yourself daily before the Lord, understanding that what do you have that you have not been given? And if you have been given, why then are you boasting? But if you let pride overwhelm your heart, you are invariably opening that door for Satan to come in and to tempt you so that you can fail in your faith. The third opportunity that the devil capitalizes on in order to derail our faith is actually selfishness. Now, this is going to bring us to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul here responded to the question that the Corinthian believers asked him about marriage. And loved ones, I want to pay close attention to this chapter. This is how it reads. Now, concerning things about which you wrote, it is good for a woman not to touch. It is good for a man, rather, not to touch a woman. But because of immorality, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Watch verse 5. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer and come together again, so that the devil will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I want you to pay attention to verse 5. This is where I'm going this morning. The Apostle Paul is telling married couples, he's telling husband and wife, he said, you got to understand something about intimacy. You got to understand this thing about conjugal relationship, that you as a husband and wife must understand that in this relationship, there are some things that you must have to do to begin to protect your marriage from external influences. That is why it calls here. It says, stop depriving one another. In other words, stop being selfish as it relates to conjugal relationship. In other words, your selfishness, as Paul would say, can be a door, can be the opportunity the devil needs to begin to tempt one of you so that you will fail in your marriage. Watch what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul here is highlighting selfishness. And if there is something that's always prevalent in marriages, it's selfishness. Oh, it might not be selfishness as it relates to conjugal relationships, but it might be selfishness as it relates to other things. But don't you realize that when you become selfish, when it's all about me and my way and the I way, and you ignore the other person and you don't care about them, you are actually opening the door. You are giving the devil the opportunity. And a lot of marriages has failed because the devil has been given the opportunity, because husband and wife don't understand that in marriage you work together as a team. You don't work against one another. Many are working against one another, and in doing that you are being selfish, and ultimately you are giving the devil the opportunity. The opportunity that there will be infidelity, the opportunity that the devil will come and begin to bury you guys in all kinds of emotional problems and begin to separate you rather than bring you together. And loved ones, again, according to the scripture, this tells us that the devil is always looking for opportunity of selfishness. That is why you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, whether you are married or not married, must understand that selflessness is what God is calling you to be selfless. Not to think about yourself, but to think about others and how I, as a Christian, can be helping unto others, not always about me. Here is the fourth opportunity that the devil capitalizes on in order to cause us to fail in our faith, and that is unresolved issues. Again, unresolved issues. This is going to bring us to Ephesians chapter 6, or chapter 4 rather. Here, the Apostle Paul writes into the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 4, let's begin at verse 26. The Apostle Paul will say this, said, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Pause for a minute. I want you to pay attention to what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's saying, listen, there's nothing wrong in being angry. While the anger of men does not fulfill the righteousness of God, while anger dwells in the bosom of fools, but there will be times emotional that you'll be angry. But Paul is saying, listen, when you are angry, don't sin. And he said to us here, he said, and don't let the sun, implication is that, don't let it simmer within your soul, even if that anger is present. But you got to be able to find a way to resolve it quickly. Now, it doesn't mean that you got to do it if you're angry in the morning before the sun goes down in the evening. No, he's saying that you should be able to resolve it as quickly as possible. And then he goes, he said, and do not give the devil the opportunity. The implication is very simple. That if you have unresolved issues and you let it just simmer in your soul, you let it marinate in your soul, what you've done inadvertently is actually to open the door so that the enemy can enter. You see, what the devil needs is just a little crack. What he needs is just a little window that it can just come in. And how does he do this? The devil now comes in through your anger to build resentment, through your anger to bring bitterness, through your anger to bring unresolved issues and unforgiveness. And before you know it, since you have refused to deal with whatever problem you face, before you know it, that little hill becomes a huge avalanche of issues. And before you know it, everything that you built for several years begin to collapse because there is unresolved issues. And loved ones, the Bible is telling us here that the devil is looking at your relationships and is seeing whether this issue that you're facing, you're going to deal with it or not. And loved ones, listen, if you choose not to deal with your anger, if you choose not to deal with all whatever issue you got with other people, and you say, listen, I'm just going to let it pass, I'm not going to deal with it, you are opening the door that ultimately the devil is going to take to begin to massage your heart in such a way that that anger now becomes an avalanche of issues. And before you know it, you begin to separate from such relationships. But this morning, I want us to flip the strip here. I also want to turn to the scripture and try to find out, you know, trying to harvest from the page of scripture, how we can secure all entry points in our lives so that we don't give the devil the opportunity. I think this is good, loved ones, because I think it's important to know what the prescription is. How can we seal all these entries? Well, there are three ways here this morning I want to unveil to you. The first way is this, that you seal all entry points so that the enemy does not capitalize on the opportunity. You must be well established in the truth. Again, watch what I just said, loved ones. You have to be well established in the truth. In Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul will instruct the believers at Colossae. He says to them, beginning around verse 6, he said, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflow with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophies and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than to Christ. Now, I want you to pay attention to what the Apostle Paul did right here. He now sets in motion for us, in the first few verses, the necessity of growing in grace, the necessity of being established in the truth. He says to us here, he said, you need to be firmly rooted. You have to be built up in Jesus. You have to be established in your faith. Those are three critical instructions that the Apostle Paul is giving to the church, that as believers in Jesus Christ, you must constantly seek to be established in the truth. Then he goes, he said, so that you don't get deceived and you don't get held captive. This is where he's saying to us, he said, you must understand that there is a strategy by the enemy, that when you have a confused understanding, when you have not been fully established in the faith, when you have not fully grown in grace, the devil can use that through philosophies and empty deception to cause you to stray. And loved ones, unfortunately, this is not what we see. As the Apostle Paul himself will say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, he tells us, he said, for the time will come when we will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting our ears to be tickled, we will accumulate for ourselves teachers according to our own desires. We will turn away men, the hearts of many from the truth and turn them to myth. And watch what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, listen, you got to be steeped in sound doctrine. As a believer in Jesus Christ, sound doctrine, you must be steeped in it. You must understand the truth that God has laid out in his word. Because we're in a season and a time where there's a lot of people who want to tickle your ears. A lot of people who want to give you all this fairy tale ideology that is not truly scriptural. And loved ones, if you are not established in your faith, if you're not established in the truth, you will become gullible, you will be blown with every wind of doctrine, and as such, the enemy will use that to lead you astray. And I tell you what, today, there is so many that professes to be Christians, but you can see their fallacy in their theological understanding, and they are extremely held captive by false teaching. And loved ones, listen, if you want to close that entryway that the devil wants to sneak in to cause you to stumble, you must be established in the faith. The second way that you and I can actually begin to secure all entry points that the devil will not be able to use that to capitalize his opportunity is this. We must cultivate the discipline of vigilance. Again, loved ones, I'm going to write it down. You have to cultivate the discipline of vigilance. Now, what is the discipline of vigilance, you may ask? Well, the simple definition is this. Is the intentional practice of remaining spiritually alert and guarding yourself against temptation, sin, and distraction. Again, I want you to watch it. It is that practice of remaining spiritually vigilant everywhere you go, guarding your heart and watching so that you don't fall into temptation and distraction. Now, I want you to understand this. When we talk about spiritual vigilance, we are not only talking about external or defensive. Rather, we are also talking about internal awareness. And I want you to watch what I'm saying here. You know, and what does internal awareness when it comes to vigilance entails? Internal awareness involves watching over your own heart with all diligence. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. In other words, monitoring the gate of your soul, what you see, what you hear, what you think, so that you can prevent harmful influences from taking root in your soul. You must understand part of being vigilant is understanding that I can't watch everything that is thrown at me. You know, some things are not good for you to watch. You got to be able to understand that some things are not spiritually beneficial for you to absorb into your soul. You being able to do that, what you ultimately do is to protect your heart with all diligence, because out of it comes the issues of life. Another thing that you need to do in terms of internal awareness is having what I call a regular assessment of your own spiritual condition, your own motives, so that you can be able to discern, you know, is there a pattern in my life here, a pattern of sin? Is there spiritual complacency in me? And I truly believe it is this spiritual internal awareness that is able to help us secure that point of entry of pride, of selfishness, of unresolved issues. Because when you truly are looking at yourself introspectively, and you are asking that critical question, you know, am I truly walking in the way God? And you, even if you can't do it yourself, someone that's going to be a friend or an accountability partner with you and tell you, listen, you need to get this right. You see, once you have that notion of internal vigilance, what you ultimately do is you're protecting your heart from all those sinister ways that the devil will want to take that opportunity to cause you to stray. The final thing is this, loved ones. For you to be able to secure all point of entry so that the devil will not capitalize on that opportunity, you have to daily lean on the Holy Spirit. You have to daily lean on the Holy Spirit. You know, if there is one thing that the devil is highly skilled in, we all know that, is craftiness. The devil is extremely crafty. In essence, what this translates to is this. You and I need great discernment when dealing with the devil. In other words, we need great discernment in spiritual warfare. And unfortunately, discernment is not always our strength. It is usually a weakness. So where do we go to be able to gain discernment? We have to intentionally, day by day, lean on the Holy Spirit. It is only the Holy Spirit that can give you and I the grace to be able to discern some things that look kind of iffy. It is only the Holy Spirit that can open your eyes to perceive some things that naturally you might not even perceive. And when the Holy Spirit does grant you this discernment, you will be able then to see some things even before they happen. You will be able to discern some things as they are unfolding, that, you know what, this is not going to be healthy for me. You'll be able to discern places that you go to, that this place is not going to be good for me. You'll be able to, because the Holy Spirit releases in you that fruit that gives you the grace to be able to discern. And without discernment, you will fall for the trap and the trickery of the enemy. That is why, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to embrace and continuously walk in the Spirit. As Paul will remind us, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he said, walk in the Spirit so that you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because they are in opposition against one another. And you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, when you fully, daily lean upon the Holy Spirit, you will have that great discernment to begin to walk a life or live a life that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, all the devil needs is a crack. Don't give him that opportunity. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we give thanks. We thank thee for bringing us together in this place. We thank thee for giving us wisdom and understanding in thy word. Holy Spirit, may thou not take preeminence. May thou bless the declaration of this word, that as it goes forth, your people will say yes to thy will and yes to thy way. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.